everyone. This is Dr. Will Tuttle, and it's wonderful to be with you all here this evening. This is Thursday, March 20th, 2013, and this is also the spring equinox, so that has always had significance for people who are more closely connected to the rhythms of the earth and the rhythms of the sun and the moon and the stars and planting and so forth. And so I'd like to, first of all, just thank you all for joining us this evening. And we're back in California now. The last time we had this in February, as you know, we were in New Zealand. We're back here, and everything's going quite well in terms of our own being able to get settled back in and so forth. And we have, a great opportunity this evening. We're going to be speaking in a few minutes with Shanti Urita, who's with us on the call, and she's a World Peace Diet facilitator and also an author and speaker and educator. And I would like to, before we dive into that, though, I'd like to just invite us to take a moment to connect with our own inner being. I think it's really helpful just to take a moment of silence before we begin talking. Tune in to ourselves as beings of consciousness and awareness. Great, thank you. You know, it's really important, I think, for us as animal advocates to make an effort to do the best we can to make sure that we're in harmony with ourselves, because the work of speaking out for animals can be very difficult in our culture. And very often, even though our actions are intended always to bring greater peace and healing and joy and freedom to animals and to other humans, to the world, we find that people don't appreciate that too much. So I think it's very helpful for us to just have a sense of gratitude and cultivate a sense of gratitude in our hearts that doesn't really need anything in the outer world. I think typically we have a feeling that we need to be grateful if something good happens or if we have some kind of reason to be grateful. And more, I think I've mentioned this before, I think it's helpful just to cultivate a feeling of gratitude during the day for the opportunity of a human life and for the opportunity to speak as best we can on behalf of others who are perhaps not able for various reasons to speak up, animals and future generations and ecosystems and hungry people and so forth. And that we, as we do that, we're fulfilling perhaps a mission that we have deep in our hearts. So I'd like to thank all of you for answering the call of your spirit to question the official stories that we've been injected with, all of us from the time we're little infants in our society, that we need to dominate and exploit other living beings in order to be healthy and real, and questioning the programming, not in the outer world, but really in our own consciousness. I want to talk a little bit about that later today, too. And to be educators in the true sense, to help bring out of people the basic wisdom suppressed. So this is the call, I think, that we're all having at this point in our lives. And so I'd like to just really tell you all how much I appreciate you, and to remember that we're connected with others, that we're connected with not only other activists, but people in the past and people in the future, I think, who will be bringing this same message to the world and working to find ways to do it more effectively. So I'd like to, without any further ado, go ahead and introduce, before I do that, we'll say this right off the bat. If you have any questions during the evening, we usually go for about an hour to an hour and a half, hour and 15 minutes, hour and a half, sometimes more, but I try not to go more than an hour and a half because I know even though it's only 6 o'clock here in California, it's already 9 o'clock on the East Coast, and I'm not sure where other people are. Sometimes there's people from other parts of the world as well. But anyway, so we try not to go too long here. And but anyway, if you have any questions or comments as we're going along, press star 6 on your phone, and then I'll be able to see that you are raising your hand, and I'll be able to unmute your phone, and we can hear what you would like to say. Okay, so now I'd like to jump in here, and before we talk about some of the issues that I wanted to mention this evening, I think it would be great to have an opportunity to talk with Shanti, as I mentioned, because last month we had, as you remember, Lorena Muck was with us, and she was the person that was discussing I think it was actually 2 months ago, if I remember correctly. Last month was, in January we had Lorena, and she's an educator. She's also a World Peace Eye facilitator, and she goes into high schools and really makes hundreds of appearances every year. And so Shanti is working a little bit with her now, as I understand. But Shanti I met originally in 2008 at the very first World Peace Diet facilitator training that was done live in Michigan, up in the kind of the wilderness of Michigan there. People were camping out in tents. We had a great crowd of about, 40 or 50 people. And Shanti has been a really wonderful activist for animals ever since. And she will tell you, I'll just ask her some questions, but she's been very involved with not only improving her own capacity to be an effective animal advocate, but also actually doing some great things. I think they're great anyway. It's really helping to get the message out there to people. So I'm going to go ahead and unmute Shanti. Here we go. Ta-da. So Shanti, are you with us?
I'm with you, Will. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And can you hear me okay? Does it sound good?
I can.
Yeah. Great. Well, you sound loud and clear.
How about me? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Yes. Very good. And you're in, I think, New York State.
Yes.
Am I right?
An hour up from the city.
An hour north of the city. Great.
Yes.
Great. Well, I wanted to just thank you for joining us on our call here. And could you go ahead and maybe share a little bit about how you originally went vegan and what you found were things that you wanted to learn more about becoming an effective vegan advocate after you became a vegan, and where that has taken you on your path? It would be great to just to talk about that a little bit. And I think everybody would be so inspired to
sure,
know
I would
more
love
about
to.
You.
Well, 9 years ago, I was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, a blood cancer. And for 5 weeks, I pretty much thought that I had 5 years to live.
Wow.
And after 5 weeks, the doctor determined it was a misdiagnosis.
Wow.
And in those 5 weeks, I had no idea how to cook. I had no idea how to eat healthy. A chiropractor friend of mine told me to get off of meat, get off of dairy, and juice my vegetables.
Wow.
And that's how I was introduced to veganism. Well, actually, that's how I was introduced to a plant-based diet.
Right. You did it for your health because you wanted to live, really.
Yeah.
You were afraid you could actually die from this cancer, but actually it was a misdiagnosis. So then what happened after that?
I started to learn. I started to figure out, okay, what am I supposed to eat? And I started with all the processed foods.
Right.
And as I started to learn, I came upon the plight of the animals. And that's when I decided I would never eat animals again. And so I read Diet for a New America. I saw Earthlings. I saw some of the videos. And then I considered myself vegan because I would never go back the other way.
Right.
And
right.
I stayed off of meat, and I stayed vegan for the animals. When I was plant-based eater, I thought, oh, you know what, I can eat a little bit of chicken here and there. It's okay. You know, everybody does it.
Right. Yeah.
But then when I learned about the animals, I totally became vegan. But what was happening out in the world was people did not want to talk to me. I was offending so many people, and when they saw me coming, they would just turn the other way. I'm sure a lot of people have that experience.
Right.
And I decided to go to Toastmasters. Toastmasters, are you familiar with Toastmasters?
Yes, I think I remember when you in 2008 when you came to the World Peace Society Facilitator training program, you had not yet started Toastmasters, but I think right after that, you began that, I think, to learn to be a better speaker, right? Public speaker?
Better communicator. Yeah. It's a worldwide program organization. There are clubs in probably every state. In 200 different countries there are. And we meet twice a week. And what we do is there's a whole program that you go through. And you give speeches in front of a group, and you learn how to speak. And so when I first started giving vegan speeches, they would tell me, you can't say that. You can't say that there's pus in milk, because we turn you off. We don't want to hear that. And so every time I would say something, they would write to me and say, you can't say that. I'm like, okay. And I kept trying to listen to them and kept trying to listen to them and learn from them, because none of these people were vegan. Some of them, oh, you're a vegan?
So they were giving you feedback that was, I kind of wonder if they were just trying to protect themselves. But I guess also you were feeling into how you can say this in a way that people can hear it, I guess. That's
yes,
saying,
exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. So fast forward 5 years, actually four, I had been a teacher all this time, an elementary school teacher, first and second grade.
Right.
And something was not right. Like, I tried to bring in healthy options into schools, and I just kept getting met with walls. And I tried to talk to the children, and parents would get angry with me. And I tried to go to the principal, and they would shut me out. And I went to the administration, and they just, go away, Shanti. And so I was getting very, very frustrated in school, and I knew deep in my heart that I didn't belong there anymore.
Right.
So, fortunately, I had 20 years in the school system, and I said, I'm going. I can't do this anymore. I have to go and follow my heart. There was something inside me that says, you have to go and speak for the animals. And having a full-time teaching job in these days, I just couldn't do both of them the way that I wanted to. And so I left the teaching system, left a really well-paying job.
Right.
And I wrote a book. And I wrote a book from the skills that I got from Toastmasters. And so the title is called Dear World, See What I See. And it's my story. And what people... It's on Amazon. If you guys who are listening want to go and check out the reviews, people are just thrilled with the way that I speak to them because they don't find me offensive and they're able to hear me. And then they make their choice.
Right.
Like many people who have not turned vegan out of it, I just say, woohoo, you got a coat of paint.
Right.
So that's what I'm doing with my book. I'm still talking in Toastmasters clubs and promoting it. My son is helping me get a website. He wants me. I do have a website, ShantiRetta.com.
Uh huh.
But he wants me to
spell
get
that for everybody, just so they know. It's Shanti Shanti URRETA.
Two R's, one T.
Right. .com. And the book also on Amazon. I've read it, and I definitely highly recommend it. Very interesting, and I saw a great interview you did too. I think that's on YouTube,
yeah.
Is it, or somewhere that was done by someone in the television. It was a television.
That's on Vin DiAquino. VinDaCuino.
Right.
Vin DiAquino. He has a show that he interviews authors.
Right, and that must be in your area because you're right there sitting in the studio with him.
Yes.
Yeah, it's excellent. He's very
personable. So you saw it, huh?
I saw it. He's very supportive of you and what you're saying and very respectful of veganism, and it's excellent. I mean, it's fantastic, the whole thing, I thought, yeah. Yeah, and the book, too, you know, on Amazon, it's Dear World, right? Just Dear World, See What I See.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Okay, so continue. Sorry, I just wanted to...
No, thank you for explaining. So my son is helping me with a newsletter. He says, Mommy, if you want to be out there, you have to be computer savvy. You have to understand these things. And I says, but I just want to speak. He goes, well, then speak on paper and keep writing, and I'll help you do this. So that's what we're in the process of doing right now. I have to get newsletters out. If you go on my website and sign up for the newsletter, I will. And he wants me to speak to people not just about veganism, because he says, you're going to turn people away if everything you talk about is veganism. So I spoke the other day at a Toastmaster meeting, and I wore my vegan shirt. You know, the one that the black and white one that
oh,
says
yeah,
vegan
right.
for the world, for your health, for the animals, for the planet, that one.
Right.
And I go up in front of the audience, and I'm just smiling at them, making sure that everybody sees my shirt. And I start with, I'm a vegan. Well, they all kind of giggled because it was just like, what? Obviously. And that's how I started talking about, you know, my friend. I'm also a vegan activist, I said, and so I get into a lot of conversations about veganism. And the other day I was having a conversation with my friend, and she says, you know, I get it. I get that I would be healthier. I get that the animals, that there are billions of animals suffering. I get that our planet, we're destroying it. I just don't have the time.
Ah, and she doesn't get it.
And then I turned the speech into how to organize yourself. I've worked through the system of GTD, getting things done.
Uh-huh.
And 2 years ago, I was just a mess. After school, after teaching, I was just a total mess, just so unorganized, so I couldn't do anything. I wasn't getting anything done. And I was breaking appointments, making appointments and breaking them. And so through David Allen's book, GTD, Getting Things Done, I was able to figure out how to organize my time. And so at the end of my speech, I said, put this into your system, and you will be able to find time to be a vegan like my friend.
Great.
So what I'm trying to do is get people where they care. Like, yeah, these people think they have no time. Yeah, these people are so unhealthy. It's really, what do they care about? People seem to be self-centered, and it's what's in it for them. And that's what Toastmasters has taught me, is what's in it for them. And I keep thinking, okay, what's in it for you? Because if I give you something that's in it for you, then I'll be able to connect with you.
Yeah, that's interesting, because, of course, veganism itself is really about others. It's about animals and hungry people and so forth. So it's but you get people agreeing with you, perhaps. You know, that's helpful.
I find that when I approach people with the animals, they don't, and I'm really trying to believe that they care. They just have all these blocks.
Yes.
You've read, what's the name of the book? Living Among Meat Eaters?
Oh, by Carol Adams?
Yeah.
And, yeah, right. Uh-huh.
She talks about everybody being blocked vegetarians, blocked vegans.
Right, right.
And I find it so helpful to see people that way, and so that I don't say they don't care. Like, oh, no, you care. You're just blocked.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that's so now you're actually going into high school. You're thinking about going into high schools and doing like Lorena was talking about a couple of months ago?
I sat with her on the phone today, actually, and we went over all of her slides and what my next steps are to be able to implement that. So being a teacher for all those years, I know how to talk to children. That's actually how I wrote my book. I wrote my book so that if you're a fourth grader and can read, you can read my book. Because I wrote it so simply, without big words. There's not one word that you have to go to the dictionary for, because if it was a big word, I explained it to you.
Right. Great. So you're going to be speaking then maybe you could just tell people a little bit about, you said your passion is being a vegan activist and speaking. So what kind of in speaking opportunities do you think you or other people could have or generate?
I understand that the VFW, all of...
Yeah.
And those organizations, that they're
like
always
the
looking
Club
for speakers.
The Lions Club and the Rotary Club. And
Yes, that they're always people. Looking for speakers.
Right.
The Unitarian churches around here.
Yeah, they might, yeah. Yeah, we have people, Rope Peace facilitators, going into Unitarian churches. That's not quite as easy. I mean, they have a committee that determines what they'll allow in to be No, so forth. I mean, I speak at Unitarian churches sometimes, definitely.
I have been going is when you're part of Toastmasters, you can go to any club.
Right.
So I can go to any club and promote my book and speak. So
yeah,
what I do is I find clubs that have 20 or more members, and I have a captive audience in front of me with 20
right.
people.
Right, right, right. Great, and they're in like all the even medium sized towns have a Toastmasters, I think, right?
Oh yeah. I would say within an hour from me, I have probably 20 clubs.
Right. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Good. Well, I wonder if I just want to reemphasize anybody as you're listening, if you have any comments or questions for Shanti. Please press *6 so I can see that. And it's really great to hear that, you know, how you've been able to really learn how to, because I think before that you didn't feel like you could really speak publicly, or you didn't feel like you had the communication skills to do it effectively. So you feel like you've really learned a lot about how to actually reach people. through Toastmasters.
Absolutely. I highly, highly recommend Toastmasters to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're speaking to the non-choirs. The non-choirs are right there sitting there listening to you.
Right, right.
And sometimes I feel guilty, like they didn't ask for this, but I'm giving it to them anyway.
Right, right, right. Yeah, and then they can give you feedback.
And they give you feedback, and that's what this whole thing is about, giving you feedback, making you a better speaker.
And are you going to be speaking in high schools then in your area? Do you see that happening relatively soon or next year? Or do you have any idea about that?
Well, it's March.
Right.
I would like to, within a month, be able to do it. At least put the letters out to teachers and principals. And
great.
Even if it gets scheduled for September, October.
Yeah, that's...
That... Lorena has a wonderful website, ethicalchoices.com, and it just explains things so well. She sent me her whole presentation. All I have to do, it's like turnkey. All I have to do is take it, understand what she was saying in it. And I like the way that she presents it because she asks kids to really come up with their own solutions.
Right.
It's not like she's badgering people. And this is what we do in the factory farms. No, she just shows pictures and says, what do you think?
Mm.
And that's a wonderful, wonderful approach to have with children because you don't want to slam them over their heads, but you do want to educate them.
Right, and if they come up with the solutions themselves, it's much more empowering if they think about it. And you know, that's excellent. So she's showing you the, I guess, visuals as well as what she says.
Yes, well, she sent the PowerPoint presentation to me.
Right, right, right.
And then she sat on the phone with me and went over each slide and what she says. So
right.
She does want to take this nationwide. So I guess I'm like her little prototype. How is this going to work with somebody?
Good. Well, I'm so glad to hear it. We have someone has raised their hand and would like to ask you a question. I'm not exactly sure who it is, but I'll go ahead and just unmute. Okay, you are unmuted. 785 phone number.
Hi, it's Judy Carmen.
Oh, Judy. Hi, Judy.
Hi.
Hi, Judy.
Hi, Shanti. I remember you from that conference.
Yeah, you were there, Judy, right.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, back in 2008 in Michigan. This is
Judy
Carmen.
Doesn't seem like it was that long ago, but...
I know. I just got to tell you, this is Judy Carmen. She's an author of two books, Being... Let's see, the Mystic
Peace to All Beings,
one, and Peace to All Beings, the other one, also the co-founder with me and Madeline of the Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals, Circle of Compassion Ministry, and working with Tara and us to do things. So she's our good collaborator here. Well, great to have you on the call. I didn't even know you were here. Right.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I'm here. Well, Shanti, I just wanted to tell you this is wonderful what you're doing and what you've done with... You know, being inspired, so many people get discouraged and give up, and you have just amped it up, and now you're really on a roll, it sounds like. And I have not read your book, but I'm looking at the cover here on Amazon, and it's beautiful.
Thank you.
So I'm going to order that. But I wanted to ask you, when you were going to Toastmasters, did they help you figure out the idea that you have of coming up with something else like being organized, like you were talking about, and presenting that as the topic, but being a vegan talking about it? and tying the two together. Did they help you come up with that, or did you come up with that on your own? Were they that helpful, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Well, actually, my son is the one who encourages me to speak to people about what they care about.
Mm-hmm.
Toastmasters does tell you, speak to people about what they care about.
Mm-hmm.
But my son is the one who says, Mommy, look at all these websites. What are they talking about? Look
mm-hmm.
at Zen Habits. How
yeah.
did he, what made him so effective?
Mm-hmm.
Dan Pink, look at his site. What made him so effective? And he's like my teacher. He gives me homework. He says, okay, your homework today is.
Wow.
And he makes me look at these things. He's very computer literate. He's very, very knowledgeable about sales and how to make things work.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knows I have something good. He knows my book is wonderful. When he read Will Tuttle's, review and a review from my chiropractor,
mm-hmm.
he says, okay, Mommy, you have something here.
Mm-hmm. That's good to have that kind of encouragement from your family.
So I have help from everywhere, but it was Toastmasters who I know what I can say and can't say. If I get up in front of a crowd, they'll give me feedback on how I presented myself.
Mm-hmm.
How was my body language? How did I give eye contact to people? What made it so that speech was powerful? So they'll
mm-hmm.
give me feedback about those things.
Uh-huh.
And when I speak about different things, so I won't always speak about veganism.
Yeah. I just think this is really something a lot of us could do when we do talk to, like you say, not the choir,
right.
You know, just even, you know, like random groups like you're talking about, or kids, appeal to something that they are already desperately interested in, you know. Because it's hard to get people to care about the plight of animals when they've got so much on their own plates.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
yep.
They may not have enough money to...
And most people care about their health.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so if we
That's
can give them...
That's a big one.
If we can give them a little bit about their health, and then the second thing is, I don't have time. Because people are so busy.
Mm-hmm.
Actually,
yeah, that's a huge one.
Here in New York, we're very busy. I don't know about the rest of the country. But
I hear that from everybody. That
yeah.
I'm busier than I've ever been. There's less time than there ever was. Mm-hmm. Things like that.
Mm-hmm. So there's really no excuse. Get your life together and look at veganism.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do try to code it gently. I felt like when I started, and I talk about it in my book, when I started, I was so gung-ho. I was so gung-ho, and
mm-hmm.
I'm still gung-ho, but inside. On the outside, I'm calm and mellow, and I'm a happy vegan.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that important to show people that we are happy vegans.
Oh, I think that's really key. I think that's so important. Yeah, if we just come across as angry and disgusted and all of that, it
mm-hmm.
definitely turns people off.
Mm-hmm.
Right, they don't want to emulate that. They don't want to find their life becoming complicated and miserable and being
right.
an outcast, I think, is a big, biggest concern people have is that they won't be able to just eat with their family and friends and at the company barbecue and so forth. And what, you know, that whole idea of being different is, I think for a lot of people, it's daunting, subconsciously even. You know, they can't
articulate
it, but they just immediately want to change the subject. So.
it's huge. And the more kind of tied into the status quo someone is,
right,
and the more that they're gaining success from it and approval, the harder it is for them to think about, because they know. They look at us with, you know, criticism, and so they don't want to be looked at that way for the most part. I would say, you know, the vast majority of people.
And
that may be the biggest reason of all. It's hard to say.
Also really important, to besides being happy, is to never look like we're in lack, like we're missing anything from our life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you go to a party, take food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's very good. Good advice. Yeah. Make sure there's something good there to eat. If there is,
mm-hmm.
yourself.
Right. Yeah.
Great. All right. Well, if one other person has a question, thanks so much, Judy. Is there anything else? Or that was really nice to hear from you.
Judy, thank you for saying hello.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Shanti,
we'll
congratulations on
thank
all
you.
This. It's
thank
wonderful.
You.
And thank you from the animals.
Is this a good time? I was thinking, actually, since you're on the call, it would be great. Maybe you could mention a little bit about the vegan spirituality retreat and so forth that's coming up and what you're doing. Some of the things you're up to. Do you want to do that now? I mean, I think you probably could.
Okay, sure.
All right.
There's Lisa Levinson has been organizing vegan spirituality retreats for the last few years, and the next one, Will spoke at the one. Well, you spoke at both of them, didn't you? In Malibu and Philadelphia.
Right, East Coast and West Coast ones last year.
Yeah.
Very nice, I have to say. Yeah, it's a beautiful place in Malibu overlooking the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Judy, will be the speaker for this year's.
Right, which will be on June 22nd, and it'll be all day. And then I'll be speaking at the one in Philadelphia, too, which is in October. And the website is veganspirituality.com. So, and the idea of it, of course, is kind of what we're talking about here, the importance of being together in a community. And so many of us are recognizing that this is a spiritual community, because even if you're not religious, the inner drive to be vegan comes from spirit. So it's a way to honor that, and Lisa is also helping people around the world, really, to form vegan spirituality groups that can get together for potlucks and stuff on a monthly basis. So, and she's having calls like this where all the leaders can get together and talk about how they can get more people to come and what sort of activities they could have and that sort of thing. So it's just a great thing. And In Defense of Animals is actually wanting to incorporate some of this. They're calling it sustainable activism. And with the idea that it can be, like Will was saying at the beginning of the call, can be hard to be an ongoing activist. It takes so much energy, and as wonderful as it is to know what you're here for, it's kind of daunting to face the endless litany of abuse to animals. And so I think we're all realizing that we need to take care of ourselves, too, so that we can stay in this movement and not get burned out. And so I'm helping In Defense of Animals develop this council, Sustainable Activism Council. And hopefully that will really turn into something. We're going to be talking about it at the Animal Rights Conference in L.A. in July. And I think we're going to have a panel of some kind. I don't know what it's going to be called yet, but that should be happening for sure. So
great.
Thanks for letting me mention that, Will.
Oh, you're absolutely welcome. And Judy's also the creator of the prayer flags, which we saw a few in New Zealand. We saw one in New Zealand, I think, and one in Australia. And
oh, wow.
Nice to see the animal prayer flags, the prayer flags for the prayer circle for animals.
Mm-hmm.
They're available from your website, which is Peace to All Beings, right? People.
Right, peacetoallbeings.com.
Right.
Yep, you can buy them there for $5 each, plus postage. And I just took one of mine down that was hanging on the porch because it was completely tattered. So I was thinking all the prayers have gone on to the wind. But then I thought, well, there's a few words left here, so I composted it. I put it in the compost. And now I'm thinking, so it's not just on the wind, it's also in the earth.
Now you're eating.
So we can put the prayers everywhere.
Of course.
Judy?
Right. Uh-huh.
Judy, I just wanted to mention, in my book, I think you will very much like how I talk about karma on a very, very simple level.
Okay.
Where people don't have to be very, very intellectual to get it.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah.
I realize, having been a first and second grade teacher, I have learned how to put things very simply.
Uh-huh.
And people who are not even spiritual read my book and go, oh, I get it. I get it.
Yeah. Great.
So I will see you in October in Philadelphia.
Oh, good. Great.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm glad you
Well, just keep an eye on that website, the Vegan Spirituality website. I don't think the date is posted on there yet.
Okay.
But I would love to see you there. That would be great.
Okay. We have thanks so much, Judy, and I hope everybody's taking notes of these things. We have Marlene on the line, who's been waiting patiently. Is that it? That's probably everything for now, Judy, is it? Or if
yeah,
not,
thank you, Will.
Again.
Thanks.
All right. Talk to you later. Right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Yes. Marlene, do you have a comment or a question? Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Will. Yes, I have a question for you and Judy and Shanti, and thank you all. And Judy, I want to tell you that I love your article in the World Peace Writers website, is Hunting and Fishing in Alignment with Religious Values.
Oh, yes, thanks. Yeah.
Yeah,
you like
love it.
It.
So my question for the three of you, and you've been addressing it, what I'm coming across, as you all know, is that the majority of people are blocked, and so I think, okay, do they care about the animals or are they just blocked? So I've been working on the approach of as we sow, we reap, which I'm glad that Shanti just mentioned karma, so it makes sense to us. So how is that best to reach the public who say, well, they don't believe that? And so it's obvious to give all the signs on a societal level that I learned from Will, and how about personally, if they say, well, geez, everything's going fine in our life, and it has, and so I don't see any relationship to it. And one example, I don't want to mention the group, I just want to use the example of a new group I just heard of a intentional community of women, and hundreds of women who have endured severe sexual abuse, physical abuse, military abuse. And so they've joined together to create a community. And so they're reporting success in part of their community, in addition to gardening, is pigs and chickens and fish.
Mm.
And so I see it and again, what I learned from Will is the retribution in the endless rounds of being. For those who are saying, well, we're having success with our program and we're still eating the animals, does anyone have any ideas that to share? Thank you.
Wow, I hadn't heard about that. Oh, gosh.
You know, I just think in all those kinds of situations, it's really important to establish a relationship somewhat with a person. I mean, there's different ways you can approach. I don't know if you know these people personally at all, or if it's just in sort of an organization that you, you know, if it's an organization like, for example, I've just sent letters, you know, over the years to many organizations if I thought that they were at all open to being more mindful of the violence that they were causing, even though they're a good organization, you know, doing what they think is good. And I've had, I feel, pretty good success with that, you know, just sending, you know, some letters that are respectful, but also really raising the issue that, you know, here we are, on the one hand, working hard in order to create a situation of healing for women of sexual abuse and so forth, and yet at the same time, we're causing abuse and terror and fear and misery to other living beings. And is that really in alignment with, at a deeper level, with what we're trying to accomplish? And then also, not do it in a way where I'm blaming the person in any way, but say that, you know, we're raised, all of us in a society that encourages us not to make these connections, you know, that to just see other living beings as means to an end and things to be used. And yet we know ourselves how terrible that is, to just be seen as a means to an end and a thing to be used. How can we expect ourselves to heal or our society to heal if we act the same way that how we've been abused, and we abuse other beings the same way that that we were abused, that this is societally approved of? And I think also giving the example for of slavery in the United States in the 1800s is also very helpful, just because it was something that was totally accepted, and no one in the South thought there was anything wrong with owning people and using them, and what we would say, obviously, abusing them, you know, impregnating them against their will, stealing their children, buying and selling them like they were just, as we would say, as they would say then, you know, animals. Or and now we see that, you know, animals obviously suffer terribly by doing this, and we look back at those days, even though the people at the time, the slave owners, would have said the same thing. Oh, we're doing fine. Everything's going great. Yeah, we're having record profits. Oh, things are just like, what are you talking about? There's no problem. Here's no karma. What are you talking about? This is all good. From our point of view, yeah, we can look back and see how devastating it actually was and dehumanizing it was actually to the white as well as the
white.
And it's the same situation today. So it's really about education, you know, not about, you know, it's not going to help probably to yell and scream at them, like, but to help them use the same, the very same emotional trauma that they've experienced, or the emotional quality of their lives that they can relate to, and help them to see that not through their own fault, but just through the cultural programming, we're all of us are inflicting this on others, and as a society, we are reaping what we're sowing, and we are finding that the violence that we're inflicting on animals is coming back in so many ways. And I don't think anyone knows, is no one that isn't suffering, or knows people who are suffering terribly from all kinds of psychological, physical, economic, and other things that are going on. It's really very, very true. So I think, you know, you have a great opportunity there if you know these people at all, and maybe to use these principles in communicating with them so that you're their friend. You know, we're coming across as their friend. We are their friend, and looking not at them as the enemy or that they're doing something wrong and we're right. You know, that dualism never works. I'm the vegan. I'm superior. I've got the answer. And you're a benighted you know, you're well-meaning but kind of stupid kind of person, you know, over there, and I know better. But rather that we're suffering this, you know, we've all suffered through this from the same programming, and to put the attention on the programming rather than on the individual,
yeah.
And help and say that, you know, we're glad to help you with this, and there's probably alternatives. You know, if you can think of some positive alternatives that they could use, because a lot of times people think that they have to use chickens and pigs in order to make it successful, like plantation owners thought they had to have slaves. They said back then, you know, if we don't have slaves, our whole economy will collapse. We'll all be in complete disaster. It's not
mm-hmm.
true. I mean, they, you know, the life goes on, and you have to do it in a different way, and there's alternatives just to help people to see those things.
It reminds me of the Horse Whisperer. There was a story about him just showing in front of a crowd how he would help a horse who had been abused, and he would, I don't remember the details of how he would react around the horse, but the horse would be in a pen, and they'd tell the story of how the horse was abused, and the horse was terrified, and anyway, eventually the horse would come to him and be calmed down, and what he noticed was that several people in the crowd would break down in tears when that happened. And in talking to them, he discovered that these people had been abused themselves. And
right.
They identified with that horse. And when the horse finally trusted this man, they were overcome. And I think that these women probably would be very open to this if it was approached in the right way, like Will's talking about. Do you know them, any of them, personally?
Not personally.
Well, it could be if you could contact them and maybe offer. Where is it? If it's close to Will, he could go talk to them. Are they in California?
No.
Okay, because, you know, we could find someone maybe. If you could maybe contact them and say, you know, we have these great books and speakers to offer and, you know, but appeal, like Shanti's been talking about, to what they're looking for, what they're needing, which is obviously a lot of healing. And they're looking for a way of surviving without men, it sounds like. And yet they're doing what a lot of men do, which is dominate those, just like they dominated the women.
Yes.
So the thing that would maybe grab them would be that idea, which Will talks about so well in the World Peace Diet, about the abuse of the feminine in cows and chickens. And gosh, I mean, once you get that, it's so powerful.
Right.
Yeah,
so
there'd be a way,
that's
even
right,
just
yeah.
to send Will's book to him, if nothing else.
Well, I do have an opportunity to communicate, and on the World Peace Writers site, I have an article called Compassion in Action, and in Part 10, I specifically address the feminine and the
mm-hmm.
abuse of the feminine and the relationship of the interrelationship of the abuse of women to the abuse of animal agriculture and animal
mm-hmm.
food, and especially the feminine. So I'm hoping that how I've presented it, which I've supplied a lot of links to Will's lectures as well as the World Peace Diet Facilitator training, et cetera, I'm hoping to be effective with that. And if any of you happen to look it up and read it, I would be more than happy to hear your response if you think it's good or if it's too strong.
Okay, so...
I'm thinking of Ashanti,
yeah.
et cetera.
Okay. How do we find it?
That's worldpeacewriters.org, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
I'll have to check that out.
The Terrace
Thank
Group,
you.
Isn't
right.
it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
Great.
Yes.
And what's the title of it?
The article is Compassion in Action.
Okay.
And what this particular topic is in part 10, and it says V-Day
okay.
and Vegan Unity.
Okay.
And so I'm hoping that that will be effective rather than ineffective.
Is there a place
mm-hmm.
for us to comment?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, good. Okay.
Before I communicate via that avenue, that would be great to have anyone's feedback.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, good. Good
Thank
idea.
You.
Yeah. Feel free, everyone, to go there and read through what Marlene has written. Marlene is a wonderful activist based in Massachusetts who's also has a little mini sanctuary. I know you've told me with the
yeah.
animals, and that's so wonderful. And yeah, I think that's kind of the problem in a way is that in our society today, it's so easy if you have some land to put some animals on it and then just sell them and make some money. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's ridiculous. I mean, you can just, you don't have to hardly do any work and make some money, you know, and
yeah.
it's very tempting for people, I think, and they don't want to think about the ethics of it. It's just economically, it's in rural areas, it's what people do.
Right.
And so we have to, you know, raise awareness about it, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The economics. It's when I was in New Zealand, it was amazing. I mean, I think I might have mentioned that last time, but it really struck us. I think actually in New Zealand last month we were sort of in the beginning, but as our time in New Zealand went on, we became more and more shocked and horrified at what's happened in that beautiful country. Madeline was there 35 years ago, before it was so devastated by the dairy industry, but New Zealand now, it's really pretty disgusting. I mean, everywhere we went, there were these huge clear cuts of forest. The rivers were brown. The water was polluted. The people couldn't drink their water from their well. I mean, this is the most pristine, beautiful, huge country. It's the size of Colorado. You know, if you put it together, there's only 4,000 people there. I mean, it's, you know, it's hard, and yet they've ruined it. I mean, it's amazing how they've ruined that place. I mean, it, with this huge dairy. They just and of course, anytime I talked about veganism, the first question people had was, well, what will we do? How will we support ourselves economically if we don't have dairy? You know, that's their big thing, is it's all about the money. And of course, when I was in Taiwan, which is so great, but they do still eat dairy. But you know, I said, where do you get your dairy? And they said, from New Zealand. You know, part of this whole system of violence towards females, really, but towards animals and ecosystems. And we have to, I think, appeal not only to people's self-interest, like Shanti was saying, in the health aspects, but also, I think, to have the self-interest of people realizing that the water is being polluted and climate change is happening and environmental devastation and wildlife are being killed and all of this is happening. I mean, poor New Zealand, they've lost pretty much all of their native fauna have been, you know, just sent into extinction by these dairy, animal agriculture in general. It's just horrifying, really, what they've done there. So I think the more we can just obviously educate people in a way that they can hear it, I think that seems to be the theme for this call, is say it in a way that people can hear it and see that we're on the same side. We're not against them as vegans. We're really on the same side.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. We have actually two more people with their hands up here, so I think we should probably move on. Is that okay, Marlene?
Yes, thank you very much.
Great. All right. Thank you. Let's see. Tara, you have your hand up, I see. You have something you'd like to contribute?
Yes. Hi, Judy. Hi, Will.
Hi,
Marlene.
Tara.
Hi, Shanti. What Marlene was talking about, of course, Will and Judy have already said it all, but what came to my mind was the approach might be that, you know, when you speak to them, say, you know, I feel so compassionate about what you've been through, And I couldn't help but thinking about the correlation with the same thing that animals are going through. And in fact, in animal sanctuaries, many groups of abused children and abused women, and I suppose young men as well, are really receiving a benefit of being able to meet these animals, and there's a connection that's made, and they find a healing from that. And I'm not saying that this will happen for you. I'm saying that maybe you could just try it out. There's a sanctuary here or there, and maybe we could organize, or I could help you organize or make an introduction, and you could have a field trip there and just see how it works. And start with that approach, with the heart and the connection, because there's real work going on, also with autistic kids, relating, being able to relate to animals more than they do with people, especially after abuse.
Great
idea.
Yeah, there is actually, there's a sanctuary in Massachusetts. I don't know if they're in Massachusetts, but there's one there, Chloe's Ark, and there's another one. And there's several, you know, beautiful sanctuaries. I think if they would actually go to a sanctuary and spend some time with these animals, they would make the connection in a visceral way that's much more powerful than anything you can say. Just let the animals, being with these animals, I think would really be a wonderful thing. Just to be with people who care so much about animals that they're taking care of them without wanting to sell them for their flesh, you know, just taking care of them.
Right.
See that example, of another way of operating, and I think they wouldn't. I mean, that's a great idea, Tara. Thanks.
Oh, thanks. And sometimes saying, you know, I've noticed that sometimes, and Marlene, you and I have talked about this before, where you just say, oh, well, the animals are just like you and your experience. And sometimes people will take offense of that. Well, you really don't understand what I've been through if you think I'm like an animal, you know, because they're not at that place of having made the connection with them yet. And so maybe it's better to, instead of making that connection, make the connection with the animals personally and to be able to see that and feel it. They don't take the at-risk kids to the sanctuary and tell them that you're going to go there and feel better because they're just like you and you've been abused. They just go there and that happens. They get it.
Yeah.
The other thing that came to mind, and I'll be real quick about it, is that I've had some recent experiences of where I really have to kind of put my activism on the back burner and just sit and listen to people and be there. Just being there and not jumping at every opportunity to jump in and say, well, if you would just, you know, not be eating meat, that wouldn't be happening. You know? Of course, I say it and I think it and all of those things. However, just like you said before, being happy, being friendly, being compassionate, being accepting people for where they're at and who they are. And just being a vegan speaks volumes. People get it. You know, they know what that means, and they know probably why. And there's there's an influence, even though it's unspoken.
Right.
Sometimes just being a model for them
gets
them to approach you rather than you always feeling like you need to do something.
Just
be that model and let people gently come to you when they're ready. Unfortunately, we have to wait until they're ready, and we're so wanting this to happen so quickly that sometimes we turn people off.
Yep. That's true.
Involved in
so
there.
It's difficult. You have to kind of take a real deep breath and just, let it happen.
Yeah.
That's all.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tara. It's so wonderful that you help so much with this whole World Peace Diet Circle and with World Peace Writers. I think it's such a great thing, too. If anyone wants to write something, just write something about your feelings, your experience, any insight you have, about any of these ideas of modeling or understanding or advocating veganism and compassion for animals and anything at all. It's a wonderful forum that's building at World Peace Writers. That Tara had the idea and started, and a lot of people have written articles, including Marlene and Judy and Madeline and other people too. So.
We need writers for next month, so I'm looking for a guest author, and if you're interested for this coming next month or any time in the future, in fact, I'm going to make a public request and invitation to Lily to be one of my guest authors. Lily, I try to call you all the time, and your phone message thing is full. I can never get a hold of you. So I'm going to ask you on this call to let's try and get in touch. I would love you to be one of my guest authors and specifically to talk about genocide.
Great. Well, that's all perfect. Thanks so much, Tara. It's great having you with us. Thanks.
Thank you. It's great being here.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. Well, actually, we have another person who's been waiting patiently to speak, and that is none other than Lily. Hi, Lily.
Hi. Hi, Will. I'm shopping at a health food store, and thank you. Good night, everyone. Thank you. God bless. Okay. I've got my World Peace Diet Study Group flyers that I'm canvassing my little town with that I take to the library.
Is that Garberville? You're in Garberville?
I'm in Garberville right now.
Right.
But I wanted to let people know that they can actually access a World Peace Diet Study Group. It's the only phone bridge for the World Peace Diet. There are plenty of study groups out, but this is the only one where people can actually dial in. And we had quite a session last week with Dr. Eric Wiseman. I thank you, Marlee, for coming, and it's beautiful, everyone who shows up there from your phone bridge line. And it was very moving because we were reading about hunting and herding of sea life. And Dr. Wiseman said that he was going to download the study group flyer and put one in every box of Evolution Diet that he sends. He was so moved.
Wow,
he was choked up. And what I wanted to contribute to the conversation tonight was that when people say to me, well, my life is working fine and I'm too busy and I can't do this, I just tell them, I know exactly how you feel. I used to feel that way too. And it doesn't take that much, but when I read the World Peace Diet, my whole world changed. And all I can say is, come to the study group, check it out. We read the World Peace Diet. It's a very easy way to kind of spoon feed people into getting the book read. People have said to me, I would never read this book on my own. But the world, and I didn't even read it on my own. My husband and I were reading it together. And we are in our eighth year of being vegan because of the World Peace Diet. And that's why I'm so committed to the study group, because we haven't had the numbers that I'm looking for, and yet new people come every week. Every single week we have new people coming to it.
Great.
So eventually we'll have regulars we have probably a core of regulars that come now, about 20 regulars, and even they aren't always available. But that's okay. I know that the process is happening, and it's such an easy way to give away the World Peace Diet. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm a World Peace Diet banger. I mean, that's my vegan Bible. That is my vegan Bible. And because it changed me. It completely transformed the quality of my life, and it changed everything about the way I look at the world. And so that's the way I do it, and I want to give out that number for other people. And also you can get it.
Yeah.
We have a Facebook page, and it's been requested. I think Marlene asked to have it put on the Facebook, on your Facebook page, the number and the study group. So that way people can access it more easily. Because it
right.
is a, great way to read the World Peace Diet in community.
Right, and, yes.
And I, this is Shanti. I just wanted to mention that my studies, my thinking has come from Will also. And 90% of Americans can read but don't. And so what I did was I took a little bit of his book and made it into very simple words. And so I was talking to somebody and I was explaining the World Peace Diet and it being very difficult to read because of the vocabulary. And they said to me, oh, no, it's not. I says, yes, it is. For the majority of people, that is a very difficult book to read. And I sat there with it probably 3 or 4 times and read it and read it and read it and read it until it was ingrained in me, just like you probably have.
Yes, I'm on my 5th reading of it, but I have to say it was in the 3rd chapter that my husband and I, that I said, we're vegan, aren't we? He was reading to me, and I said, we're vegan, aren't we? And he said, yeah, we're vegan. And we have never looked back. I don't want to go into a debate about this, whether or not, I think there's enough simplicity.
I'm not debating. I'm just
I think there's enough simplicity there. I think there's enough simplicity. I mean, he makes it so, I think most of the people who don't want to read it don't want to know the truth. And so that's why they say it's so hard to read. And that's what I usually get. And I say, I understand. And that's why we're reading it in community over the phone bridge. And anyone can join. Anyone can come. No, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying that there's enough there. Yes, of course, it's profound. It's deep. It's every, you know, it's absolutely brilliant, but there's enough simple facts there that anyone can pick up on it, and I love your idea of taking pieces of it and just simplifying it and giving those out. That's good, too, any way we can get the message out. This is a message that, well, this is it. You know, if we're not the ones that are going to do it, who is, right? So I think any creativity that anyone puts into this is a worthy cause. It's what I've given my life to now. That's where I'm at and have been for years and more so now. I mean, every single day is a day that I carry the message, every day.
I ditto that.
Wow.
I know you do, Shanti.
Me too.
I mean, they can't, I mean, the phone people, nobody can get away from me. I tell them to go to worldpeacediet.org, and I also tell them about my phone bridge. I mean, they cannot, once they say anything very sweet to me, like, I hear your cat in the background, and the first thing I say is, you like cats? And then they say, oh, yeah, I have 2 cats. And I say, oh, that's great. I mean, they're beautiful, beautiful animals. Have you thought about the other animals that are out there that are, you know, that are food animals? Do you know that they're just like, I've heard that people say that they're just like cats. You know, people go, oh, really? You know, it's like do it very gently, just ease yourself in. And they'll never forget that conversation, whether or not, I mean, I'm not worried about the outcome. I didn't cause this. I'm not worried about the outcome. I'm just a conduit of the World Peace Diet. And I want anyone that's on this line to please use it as a tool of your activism, because it's a brilliant tool. It really works. People come around. They listen. They go, oh, gosh, this is hitting me so deeply. I thought I was going to be vegan, but now I am, after 1 or 2 sessions.
Right.
I'd like to give out the number again.
Yes.
It's every Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, and you can do the math, 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central. The telephone number is 712-432-3900. I'm going to repeat that, 712-432-3900, and the access code is 568-364-POUND, 568-364-POUND. And I have to tell you, I'm in pain over this whole thing all the time, but I use all of my acting skills that I learned years ago to cover up that pain so that I can just be a messenger of the World Peace Diet. That's it. And I wake up every morning and I say, Lily, this isn't about you anymore. This isn't about you. This is about what's happening here, and you need to just let it go. Just let it go. And that's it. So that's what I have to say. Please come.
Thank you.
Please tell people, use it as a tool of activism. It does work. It does work. And Eric, as I say, Eric was crying, Dr. Wiseman. He was literally, people were saying, oh, he was so choked up. I said, well, that chapter we were reading, it's heartbreaking. And that's what needs to happen. People need to have their hearts broken into motivation, into activism, so that they'll do something. And that's what happened to us. And that's what happens to all of us who are activists.
So what happens on your call? It's a book study online?
Not online. It's on the telephone.
But I mean on the telephone, yeah.
Yes, it's on the telephone. It's a one-hour call. And what we do is I've based it on other book studies that I've been involved with, and I thought I've got to do this for the World Peace Diet. So it's a one-hour call. We read usually, unless it's a particularly long chapter, about a half a chapter. And what we do is we come to a point in a chapter, and I will open it up and I'll say, would anyone like to comment on what was just read? And if nobody wants to comment, then I will comment. Sometimes I'll just jump in and start commenting anyway and get things going, because I cannot read the words of Dr. Tuttle without being moved. I can't. And I've been reading them this is my eighth year of reading them consistently. And I cannot read them without being utterly moved to tears, to pain, everything. I mean, it's okay. It keeps me on the edge, on the cutting edge of my activism. And so then people will comment, or they will tie it in. I give them the guidelines. We start with the guidelines, how it works, and that we keep our comments based on what we're reading and how it applies in your own life. And then we open it up for, you know, just a little bit of discussion. People can comment on each other's comment, or bring something up, and then we move on to yet another. It's usually the sections that are defined by bold print.
That's awesome.
So then
many people usually get on your call?
Well, it's been about, the top so far has been 22, but as I say, not everyone comes every week, because I know last week the numbers were a little lower, and I said, and I asked people, were you there? Because I have no way of knowing. Will knows who's there, but I have no way of knowing. So many people were unable to come. I know that it's growing. I know I get calls all the time. I am a vegan coach on the phone, and I get calls all the time. I do it for free because that's the way I do it. I mean, I'm not trying to make money off of it. For me, every person who becomes vegan, or every person who considers becoming vegan, is payment for me. That's what it is for me. And I asked a person once, I said, what do you think of me? I said, do you think that I would, you tell me that 100 people, I mean, a million people went vegan, or hand me $1 million, which one of these would I pick? And she said, well, you pick the million people. I know you. And it's true. And I could use the money, but it doesn't matter.
My heart, by the way.
I know I do, and you speak mine. That is what happens. Please come, Shanti. And when you come, speak of your book and speak of what you're doing, because I had Dr. Eric Wiseman. Will has come. I'd like Will to come back. He had so many people in Taiwan that I thought, I don't want to waste his time on 20 people. But, you know, they're key people. These are people that are actually, they're out there doing it. They've become vegan, and they're telling, and they're spreading the word. So it doesn't, you know, I know that Will would speak to one person, and he does. He takes very special care. And I just wanted to wait. I left him a message. Don't come this week, because I want at least 50 people there. But it's not up to me. I'm just doing it. I've been doing it since October 20th, and I haven't missed the Sunday yet. It's World Peace Diet Sunday. Some people are planning their schedules around it.
What's your name again?
My name is Lily.
Lily.
Just like a flower. My name is Lily.
Mm-hmm.
So
great.
Shanti, come aboard, Shanti, and speak of your book too, because many voices. You know, people need to hear that they're that Will and I are not the only ones, and now Dr. Wiseman has come on board and is going to, as I say, put these flyers into his pet food boxes. That's wonderful.
I will come and visit.
Please do. Please do, and tell people about it. It's a great tool of activism.
I will.
Yeah, tell people to go to it. And that would have been a great thing to tell those ladies, like, very simple, very kind. You know, I understand how you feel because I felt the same way. And there's a wonderful study group out there. You will not be able to say it's wonderful unless you go, but there is a wonderful, it is wonderful. I love it. There is a wonderful study group that studies a fantastic book, and just give them the number. You know, what they do with it is up to them.
Thank you so much, Lily, and thank you, everyone. It's I think we're kind of at a natural maybe wrapping point here because it's getting late, I know, on the East Coast. Is everyone okay with that? I have a few things I'd like to say before we kind of wrap it up. So is that okay with everyone?
Thank you so much for everything.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Will. Lily. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Chunky and Marley. Thank you so much.
Right. Yeah, thanks, Judy. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Lily. And Shanti, a big thank you for sharing with everyone your process and the successes you're having, too. It's been great. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Lovely. I'd like to leave my number for Shanti to call me sometime, and you know, when you can, if I may I do that?
Yeah, go ahead, because you don't have email, so yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
707-986-
9743. And I just love what you're doing. I love what all of you are doing. I really hold you in my heart. Thank you so much.
And thank you.
Great. Okay, so thank you all. I'm going to basically, we only have a couple of minutes left, and I really appreciate the sharing that we had. I hope that if you are still on the call and didn't say anything, that if you would like to, feel free to press the star 6, and I'll you know, I don't want anyone who really has something they want to share or have everyone else here to not have that possibility. But without that, if that's not happening, then I'd like to again thank everyone who we just heard from and talk a little bit about several things I wanted to emphasize here. And number one, the March 2014 resources for the World Peace Diet Circle are available, and I think you all know that in the there's a link to them on the website, at the Circle website. And I have there, I have this quote by Dr. Seuss, "Don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened." And I think that's really an important idea to bear in mind, that you know, no matter what we're focusing on, there can be times when it feels overwhelming, the violence and the grief and the misery of animals and hungry people and so forth. However, there are a lot of beautiful things happening. A lot of people are making efforts to reach out and bless, and I think that's happening probably even a lot more. So we can be part of that and emphasize that. And as Lily said, I think so important point is to just do the best we can, make our statement, talk to people, share with them, and then let go. Just let go of it. We're basically, I think we understand this if we're on this call, spiritual beings who are here for a short time on this planet. The situation was here when we got here, and our job, I think, is to understand it as clearly as we can, live as deeply as we can what veganism actually is, which is a heart, cultivating a heart of kindness and compassion for all beings, and then being as creative and loving as we can with ourselves and with others, to bring this message to the world so that we're embodying it, not just lecturing other people about it or trying to figure out the best ways to market the message and so forth. I think there are people that want to do it that way, and I'm fine, you know, let them do it if they want to do it that way, that's fine, and I think there's perhaps a place for that. But I think the way this movement's going to really take off is when people actually grow individually to the point where we're embodying the vegan message on a deep level and connecting with people and sharing this message, not just by the cleverly worded phrases that we're using. In fact, that maybe has nothing to do with it. It's really by our presence. As Tara mentioned, sometimes not saying anything, just listening, and then perhaps just letting our intuition. I think intuition is so important in this whole thing. So that's another whole topic I want to talk about. Maybe I will do it next time in April. But anyway, so please look over the resources. My most recent article, I just put it up, actually. It's on a new community forum for animals called the Dodo. I just love this. It's really great. And, of course, the Dodo was the bird we made go extinct. And now there's a website. The Dodo has come back to life. And it's called Vegan Lessons from Taiwan and New Zealand. And some of the things that I learned and Madeline and I observed and learned on the lecture tour we did to Taiwan, New Zealand, and Australia. There's more I want to say, but that's one article there. There's also some videos of, I think a really good video of my lecture in Perth. There was a sold-out lecture and it was professionally recorded, so we have that up, as well as an interview that I gave there. And also, we were at Gentle World, which is probably the only vegan, or one of the only vegan communities, intentional, really strictly vegan communities that promotes veganism, and has had a huge impact on a lot of people, like Michael Clapper, for example, and many others who lived there for a while over the years. They're based in Hawaii, but they have also have a beautiful piece of land in New Zealand, and they've also had communities in Utah and Florida and other places. Right now they're mainly in Hawaii. But anyway, they sponsored a lecture, and we stayed there for a few days and really had a wonderful sharing with those people. There's so much really to talk about here. There's also a new campaign urging the Pope to go vegan, and I have a link to that. And a good friend of ours here, actually Jim, who lives in Hidden Valley Lake, who read the World Peace Diet and went vegan, he's taken that on as his thing to get the Pope to go vegan. And it's great to see someone in their 70s who's just suddenly re-inspired to do a lot of work and this is, something he thinks is a great idea. So anyway, there's a lot more things here that I'd love to share with you. But just go through, and if you have a chance to look at these, meat and cheese are as deadly as smoking, according to a new article, summary of research, and just quite a few just both good news and also disastrous news. But, Al Gore now saying that he is going to be vegan for life. This is not some passing fad. He's promised this is something he's going to do for the rest of his life. And just a whole lot of things. In Iran, I just love this. In Iran recently, hunters, a lot of hunters, apparently it's a mass movement, all just burned their weapons and took a vow to stop killing wildlife because they realized that hunting is devastating the wildlife there. And then there's, as always, there's a little comic at the end. I'm not a vegetarian, but I do love animals. And then a woman saying, you mean you love animals except for the ones you eat. And then there's a little sheep there saying, I'm glad you said that. And a little pig saying, me too. And then finally, I have something unusual. There's a lot more. I think we could talk a lot about all the news and things that are happening. Finally, I have an ancient Zen poem by Izumi Shikibu. She's a well-known Zen poet from Japan, I think going way back to the 11th century or something. The poem is this. Although the wind blows terribly here, the moonlight also leaks between the roof planks of this ruined house. Watching the moon at midnight, solitary, mid-sky, I knew myself completely, no part left out. I'll just read it one more time. Although the wind blows terribly here, the moonlight also leaks between the roof planks of this ruined house. Watching the moon at midnight, solitary, mid-sky, I knew myself completely, no part left out. And, you know, poetry, especially Zen poetry, but, you know, it's all symbolic. And so although the wind blows terribly here, that's talking about the worldly winds, the winds of change, the winds of wanting to get something, wanting not to have something, the winds of desires, the winds of cravings, of fear, of gain and loss, all this stuff, our daily lives. Although the winds blow terribly here, the moonlight also leaks through the roof planks of this ruined house. What that's saying is, although in my life there are these old patterns of craving and desires and so forth, there's also moonlight representing spiritual illumination is leaking through the roof planks of this ruined house. The ruined house is not a physical house. The house is our state of consciousness. The fact that it's ruined, actually, it's a good thing. when the house is strong and well fortified, then that's the ego who's not asking any questions, who's happy, who's self-contained, who's arrogant and proud, and everything's going fine. And there's no possibility of any spirituality or any growth or any transformation. It's when that collapses, when the house collapses, when everything that I'm comfortable collapses, then, and it's actually the worldly winds that can actually help make that happen, then the moonlight, the spiritual illumination, can leak through the roof planks of the ruined house, and now she can see the moon at midnight, solitary, mid-sky. This is the one light that brings life to all living beings, our true nature. And then, sort of saying it, actually without saying it, I knew myself completely, no part left out. This is the complete awakening spiritually of the understanding that what we are is consciousness itself that was never born and will never die, and that we are forever at a deep level not wounded by whatever we experience in the world, and that essentially there's a higher order of things that goes beyond what the rational mind can understand. And I think when we glimpse this somewhat ourselves, it gives us a deeper perspective from which to work to help animals and hungry people and future generations and friends and neighbors, that we are here not so much in a material world full of, as our society says, physical beings that are just locked in struggles and competition, but that we're actually eternal beings who are born into a culture that has, in many ways, forced us to repress our natural wisdom, but that we have a possibility to awaken that. And that as we do that, we begin to be the force for healing our world. So that's the old Zen poem I wanted to share with you, and I want to thank all of you again for joining us this evening. We have, as you know, we have another third Thursday call. It'll be on the 17th of April, so please mark that on your calendars, and I think it's really past time now. So much love to you all from Madeline and from me, and we also feel free to look at our website, the worldpeacediet.org schedule or worldtitle.com schedule. We have a number of events coming up. We'll be speaking in Denver and in Michigan and in New York and Buffalo and a number of different veg fests, also in Italy. Switzerland, maybe in Switzerland, but definitely in Italy. I just got this award, the Empty Cages Award. So there's things happening, and please, if you have a chance, read the article about our New Zealand, Australia, Taiwan. This is the second article I've written, actually. And thanks so much for communicating so beautifully tonight. It's really been a joy to be part of this. All right, so much love to you all, and we'll have the recording up, of course, hopefully this evening, if you want to listen to it again or tell your friends about it. And we'll draw this to a close, and I send my love, Madeline sends her love. Keep up the great work you're doing. Remember, we're doing this, as Lily said, we're doing this for the animals. It's not about us, it's about the animals. Much love to you all. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.